And welcome into the pregame show. Robbie Stanley alongside Derek Mason, Chris Sanders here with you on this Sunday morning. The Tennessee Titans on the road taking on the Indianapolis Colts. A divisional matchup. Everybody in the AFC South is 2-2. Big game coming up later today for the Titans. We are live out at Twin Peaks here in Madison. Come on out and join us. Big game coming up today for the Titans. They've got all the NFL action taking place. Jacksonville and Buffalo in action right now. And the Jags out to an early lead. So we'll see what happens on that front. But this is going to be a really interesting game today. Really all across the AFC South.
Who's jamming like that?
I don't know who's jamming.
I don't think it's my phone.
You playing some Lou
there
Rawls?
There we go. It was my phone. Like, man, goodness.
Billy Ocean.
That's how you start. Hey, that's how you got
to
start the morning, man. You got to start, you know, like easy. You don't need to jump into music like. You need to start it easy, man.
I didn't know what the. I thought I was Conway Twitty or something. I don't know what was going on.
D-Way's setting the tone. I love it.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Big one coming up between the Titans and the Colts, and what a win last week for the Titans. Titans guys, they take down Cincinnati 27-3. Titans did really for about a 7-minute stretch there in the second quarter into the third quarter. Really, whatever they wanted to do offensively, they improved to 2-2, and now it sets up a huge game against Indianapolis. You both have been very familiar with the Titans Colts rivalry. Titans have won 5 in a row. They've won 6 out of 7. And D-Mace, just thinking back to the days of Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and how dominant they were against the Titans. Titans on a nice streak right now.
Yeah, it's good not to have an Andrew Luck or a Peyton Manning when you play the Indianapolis Colts. But this is still a dangerous team, Robbie. The quarterback is a young quarterback, but he has all the potential in the world. And then they get their all-pro running back just in time, and he signs an extension. So him sitting out, he got exactly what he wanted. Yeah. He got the extension. I think it's, what, 12, 13 per year. Yeah. 20-something, close to 30 guaranteed, so he got exactly what he wanted in a 3-year extension. But this rivalry, it's either one way or the other. It's either one team is dominating or not. It's not like they go back and forth every other game. No, this is not that type of series. And the Titans have dominated this series for the last five games, and hopefully for them going on 6. But they have a tall task at hand with Anthony Richardson, and now you add Jonathan Taylor and Moss, who is averaging over 4.2 or 3 yards per carry. So this is a really good running attack. It's going to be interesting to see how the Titans attack this running style of Indianapolis, because they hadn't faced a team like this other than last year with Philadelphia, and we saw what happened there. Yep. Indianapolis doesn't have the receivers Philly have, but man, oh man, that quarterback and those two running backs can show enough get going.
I mean, I agree with you too, Derek. This is a dangerous team. I mean, you alluded with Anthony Richardson, and I think the defense, especially the linebackers, they got to figure out where the ball is going to be, because they're going to run that zone reading and all that misdirection stuff. So, you know, I think that they really have to pay attention to their keys. And you alluded to it also. You know, even though they don't have the big time name receivers, they still got some guys that can make some plays. You got Pittman, you got Alec Pierce, you got Josh Downs. They got guys that can make plays, and we have guys that can make plays. You know, our secondary struggles a lot, so we really got to be careful now. But the reason why I really feel that the Tennessee Titans are going to win is because they have a lot of key guys hurt. I mean, Quiddy Pay, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Quiddy Pay?
Quiddy Pay, that's like a song. Quiddy Pay. But then you got Leonard is out. So I think our offense, I think we're going to run the ball. I think we're going to play physical. I think that Tim Kelly is going to put the offense out there to where they're going to just hit them in the mouth, because they have a lot of guys out on defense.
This is a wild – the Jonathan Taylor situation is wild.
Crazy.
Like,
yeah.
It starts off with the agent and Jim Irsay basically on Twitter sniping back and forth at each other. Colts tell him to go find a trade partner. They're not able to find a trade that they like. And now all of a sudden, when he's coming back into the lineup, they magically find their way to an extension. And he gets, as you said, D-Mace, pretty much exactly what he's looking for, one of the highest paid running backs in the league. It's wild the way this has played out.
Yeah, it has. And it's almost as if, you know, somebody finally got to Irsay and said, listen, sign a guy. We need him. The best friend for a young quarterback is a running back and a tight end. Obviously, you got to have a good offensive line, and I think Indianapolis does. But the best friend is a tight end and a running back. Yep. And when you don't have your all-pro running back, yes, Moss has been doing a really good job at filling in, but he's not Jonathan Taylor. So I really do believe somebody said, listen, Ursay, sign him. Get him back in, make him happy, sign him so we can get on the run. So
in Ursay's room, and he's in there with his Jimmy Hendrix.
Exactly. So this is going to be, you know, I'm looking forward to it, because there was only one game within the last six or seven that it's been a lopsided blowout, and that was the Titans. I think they ended up beating them 40-something to 20-something. But every other game has been close. And I'm looking forward to it being another close game, especially, with Jonathan Taylor back. But Indianapolis have their injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and they're not a physical defense anyway.
No.
But when you lose Leonard, DeForest Buckner is hurt. I don't know if he's going to play. So you got your key guys that are dealing with injuries for a defense that isn't physical going against a physical type of offense.
And here's the thing that scares me a little bit about Taylor. There's two things. Number one, he's healthy. He's healthy, and he's going to come in. Because you look at last year, he was consistently hurt, and he didn't have those powerful runs. Now he's healthy, and now he's upset. So now he's upset. Now he has something to prove to somebody. And now – just imagine if he runs for about 150 yards, everybody going to say that Taylor's back. He's got a lot to prove. He was hurt. He was inconsistent last year. He was a disgruntled running back. So when you got that, those two things that are working for him, that he's healthy and he has something to prove, I'm telling you, he's going to run with a passion today. So that defense has to make sure they tackle.
It's been a strange year so far from the Titans from this standpoint. Oh, the two home games that they played, the offense has looked really good. They put up 27 points in both of those, one against the Chargers, one last week against Cincinnati. On the road, it's been bad. Obviously the first game, we know what happened in New Orleans with Tannehill and the misses that he had, the interceptions, all those things. And then Cleveland, they couldn't block a soul.
They couldn't block me or you.
In that game. So the road games to this point have been really problematic. But, D-Mace, I'm encouraged by what we saw last week offensively, because it kind of felt like the offensive line took a step forward. And based on who's available for Indianapolis – you know, outside of Buckner, if he's able to go and play in this game, there's not too many people that they have, especially coming off the edge, that scares me that much if I'm the Titans in this matchup.
This is what you call a confidence builder potential game for the offensive line. Last week, they did a pretty good job. I know once they studied the tape intensively, there were some mistakes made and some things that they needed to do better. But they had played better last game than they had played the previous three. But this game coming up with the defense offense that for the Indianapolis, they're getting their guys back. But on defense, they're struggling. They're not a physical defense, to start off. And then you're talking about your key guys, Buckner, Leonard. I like Franklin, their linebacker, 44. He's a good player. But you got the two top players either hurt in playing or out. That's huge for a defense that got ran on last week by the L.A. Rams. And we don't look at the L.A. Rams as they don't have Todd Gurley anymore. Okay,
wow.
They don't have that great elusive back anymore.
Eric Dickerson.
And, you know, the Rams were able to pick up chunk yardage against a Indianapolis team that, to me, again, they're not a physical defense. And now two of your best players are either hurt or not going to play this game, that makes the situation even worse for you. So the Titans are walking into this game. It's a confidence-boosting game if they do what they need to do, meaning the defensive line is struggling, and they're hurt, and they're not physical, going against an offensive line that played well, and now they're picking up some steam. Now they get Skoronski back. So things can start, you know, turning the Titans' way in regards to them blocking.
You know, I just love what the offense did last week. I mean, Tannehill said, he said this, Cole, he said this. He said, it was a lot of fun, we were efficient, and we made plays downfield. I mean, look at how they spread the ball around with the wide receivers. You had NWI, had 5 for 51, Hopkins 4 for 63, Moore 1 for 44, Chig 3 for 39. So they're spreading the ball around. And if you look at what they were doing, the guys were having fun. They wasn't playing tight. They were making plays. You know, the offensive line was, you know, protecting Tannehill and really, really kept him clean. So when you have Tim Kelly that called a great game like that, you're going against a defense that's struggling. They're not physical. So Tim Kelly's going to open up this playbook, and I think they're going to score a lot of points against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really fun test for the offense to see if they can follow it up week to week, you know, back-to-back weeks and get things done offensively. that way. Guys, I got to tell you, one of the most underrated parts and the thing that I'm so happy about so far this year, we spent so much time in the preseason and in training camp talking about the kicker. Mm-hmm. And we've barely talked about him at all.
Well, that's good.
That's a good thing.
I love it. Nick Folk's been awesome.
We got to get Burks going though, man.
I know. Burks going to be out today. And
but what's wrong? I don't know. Did he? What is
it? I think it's the knee again. Yeah.
As guys who have played the position, you know, obviously you don't know specifically what's happened here, but does it sound like a re-aggravation to you? Did they bring him back too soon? Because, you know, he suffers the injury in practice against Minnesota in the preseason. He's back. He looked pretty healthy to me on the 70-yarder he caught against the Chargers, and now he's having knee problems again and has missed two games in a row.
I just think he wasn't fully healed. I think he re-injured the knee again, you know, and tried to play through it, and he just can't. You know, the sight of the actual injury, the first initial injury, that was bad. We all thought, like, man, goodness, he's done for the season. But fortunately for him, he wasn't. But it still doesn't mean that he was ready to go when they put him back out there. I think he needs possibly a couple of weeks off, you know, and maybe he doesn't play next week, you know, and maybe they allow him to get healthy over the bye week. So you're talking about this week, next week, and the bye week, and then get him back for the long stretch. I imagine that's what may happen. But then again, you know, he may want to play and may want to, you know, get out there in London versus the Baltimore Ravens. But that's next week. We don't have him this week. Hopefully we'll have him sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, everybody talked about him in camp, but when he got into the game, he's been inconsistent.
Yeah.
And then you got Moore, you got NWI, that's been consistent. So if I'm a wide receiver coach and I got two guys that are playing well and a guy that's consistently hurt, I'm be like, hey, just go ahead.
Just rest.
Get extra ice. You want some Coca-Cola? I got you. Because I got more and I got NWI that's been consistent the whole time. I mean, listen, everybody talks about NWI. Oh, he's not fast. He's not this. He's not that. But every game, he'll make a big play, he'll make a touchdown, and he'll do the wackest dance you ever seen. I mean, it's consistent. He's consistently open. And you know, Tannehill, if a quarterback consistently says this, I trust him, and he's always accountable. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that you want on your team. He may not be run a 4-3, he may not run a 4-2, but he's consistently in the right place. Just like last week when you guys were on the show, and the old lady called. The lady that calls in, she's like 90 years old. She's like, I love NWI because what does she say? He's always in the right place, and he's always consistent.
Yep.
That's what you want.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we'll move the chains here on the pregame show. Look ahead to the keys of the game today between the Titans and the Colts. That's coming up next. You're listening to the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey, man.
Welcome back in, pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Titans taking on the Colts later today. We are live out at Twin Peaks in Madison. Make sure you come check it out. Lots of TVs, lots of football action taking place today. Robbie Stanley, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders here with you this Sunday morning. No Jared Stillman. I think he was out. He was storming the field last night as Louisville took down Notre Dame.
Hold on. We cannot start the show without just dogging him. You got to dog him. Like they did in Rocky Five. You got to dog him. You got to insult him. You got to dog him.
What do you think Jared's 40 time was last night storming the field as they took down Notre Dame? Big win for the Cards last night.
He probably needed oxygen.
He probably pulled two hamstrings.
Right now. Hey, he's the most unathletic guy I've ever seen. Did you see when he tried to catch the field goal in practice?
I saw it.
Almost broke his finger.
My question for you is, have you seen Chase McCabe? Because I think he's probably the most unathletic person I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I've seen Chase. They're in the running.
Both of them together. That's right.
Wait, hold up. I didn't know he was an athlete. Chase.
Well, that's a good, you know, no, athletes Chase, to the eye of the beholder.
I love the suit,
that's right.
Man.
That's right.
You're an athlete. Let's use that term loosely.
Yeah, very loosely.
He just gives it all. That's all that matters.
No question about that. So, looking ahead to this game, the Titans and the Colts, my first down key to the game, guys, and you can tell me whether or not you agree with this. I'm looking at what the Titans were able to do last week. You know, Burrow couldn't move back there. He was limited with the calf injury. Dimash, you brought up Anthony Richardson earlier and how damaging he could be to your defense, how dangerous he is. He's got four rushing touchdowns already. Key of the game today, I think the Titans pass rush has an opportunity to get after him, both based on the Colts offensive line, who they have available to him, and how good I think that rush is. But what you can't do is over pursue and all of a sudden you turn around and Anthony Richardson is 25 yards down the field running with the football, because he's shown even early in his career he's a very dangerous runner with the football. Titans got to prevent that today.
Yeah, that is a huge key for the Tennessee Titans. Player gaps. I've been saying that all week in regards to this game, because of it's like you're playing the triple option
with
this team, because they got two backs and a quarterback that can actually run the football. So you got to play your keys. You got to be disciplined. You got to see the ball. You can't try to do someone else's job. You can't try to be the hero. You got to play your gaps. We've seen too many times where individuals try to be heroes and they end up giving up a big play or miss out on a big play. So with this Titan team, I think the first key, like you said, Robbie, is to be disciplined and be disciplined in what you're doing up front, and community tackle, especially Richardson.
Yeah, and the thing about it is they got to keep their eyes on the football. I mean, they do all that zone read stuff and misdirection, and all of a sudden you start to follow a guy, and then all of a sudden Richardson is running a 60-yard touchdown. This guy is prolific. He can run with the ball. He can throw the football. And I think the secondary's got to be big also. And I'm not just talking about covering a receiver. They got to keep their eyes on the football, because we ever know that if the play breaks down, Richardson has a chance to extend the play but also, you know, hit the home run. So the secondary's got to make sure that they keep their eyes on the football.
Second down on the offensive side of the ball, guys. This feels like a matchup for the offensive line that is a little bit more tailor-made to the strength of the offensive line. Should have Peter Skoronski back in there today. You got Aaron Brewer up the middle and Brunskill, those three at the two guard positions and at center. Indy's defense and the way that their front is constructed, I think a little bit more dangerous on the inside than they are on the outside rushing the passer. Now, this feels like a game that's going to be a big test for the Titans in those middle three right there. You know, the tackles, Dillard and Hubbard, and, you know, Petit Frere is eligible to play. He's not going to play today. He's getting some pregame workout on the field right now. But this feels like maybe the least challenging game on paper to them. Now, that doesn't mean that the Colts can't sneak up and get them, but this is going to be a really interesting test for those three guys on the interior on the offensive line against DeForest Buckner and that front that the Colts have.
Yeah, it is. And they're going to have to do a really good job at you know, attacking and then sustaining their blocks. This front, as good as those two guys are up the middle, and obviously DeBuckner is dealing with injuries, but you know, in watching film, they can't get off blocks.
Yep.
Once it's like they're Velcro. Once you get them, it's hard for them to get off. So the Titans got to use that to their advantage. This is not, you know, the team that they faced 2 weeks ago in the Cleveland Browns. It's not the New Orleans Saints. This is a team that is struggling up front, that is giving up runs up front, and they haven't been able to get to the passer.
You know, and I think that offensive line, they just got to play physical. I mean, if you look at last week, they were physical. And then also with Tim Kelly, he used a couple of those tight ends to help those tackles so they wouldn't give up, you know, those blocks. But I think at the end of the day, you know, the Titans are starting to create an identity, and I think their identity is running the football, running the inside zone and outside zone, and play action, you know, in the back end. So if they can consistently do that and convert their downs, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be successful and run through their lips.
Third down, sticking with the offensive side of the ball, I mean, you guys tell me, but I think Hopkins has been exactly what they've needed him to be so far. I mean, he's not necessarily the big play threat that he used to be in his career, but he's a great route runner. He's made some big catches for the Titans so far this year. And you guys brought it up in the last segment. They haven't had Treylon Burks. Westbrook Akine, I thought, played great last week. Chris Moore is averaging 33.5 yards per catch right now in the NFL. So I think he's about top five in the NFL in that statistic. So the receivers, I think, have stepped up. I feel better than I thought I would about the quote-unquote bottom of the receiving room. But potentially getting somebody back today on that front in Kyle Phillips. You know, he's been out. He's played basically one game in his career to this point. Not only with the receiving part of it, but he's going to be back there returning punts if he's active today.
No.
Big game for him.
No, don't do it.
Yeah.
no.
Well, I mean,
lot to prove.
Yeah, true.
From a wide receiver standpoint, I don't see, you know, Kyle Phillips affecting the game in any way. I think they have their rotation of receivers that they want to go with right now. Not to say he's not going to play. I'm sure he will. But his role today, I think, is going to be special teams and punt return. One, fielding a punt, and then two, trying to get yardage after that. Now, in regards to DeAndre Hopkins, I think, yeah, like you said, Robbie, he's been, I think, what they envisioned, sort of.
Yep.
He's just been the guy that, okay, we throw it to you, you catch it. If we get a big one, that's great.
Yeah.
But we're going to try to use you to move the chains. And I think they envision Treylon Burks being the big play guy. Well, they've gotten big plays, but not necessarily from Treylon Burks. They've got it from Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. They got it from Chris Moore. And then DeAndre Hopkins have given them two or three big plays, but he has had three or four crucial catches has either amounted to scores or secured a drive for a win, like he did 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago when they won against Cincinnati. It hasn't been what they needed, but it's been what they've, what has happened during the game that it's shown up, and this team has really taken advantage of it. Not having Treylon Burks, but then surprisingly having Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore show up for the absence of Treylon Burks.
You know, I'm impressed with Moore. I mean, when he came in, me, Derek, we wasn't kind of sure. We know he made some plays, with the Texans. But even though he doesn't have the numbers, he doesn't have like 40 or 50 catches, but every catch that he makes is explosive. For 44, one for 55, or something like that. But he's been consistent in making that big play downfield. We always talk about that they need a guy to take the top off the defense and make those deep threat, make some catches, catching those long passes. And that's the guy that's been doing that. So, in my opinion, if I'm Tim Kelly, I'm going to try to figure out a way to get him the ball more, because every time he catches the ball, it's an explosive play. And then we have NWI. I mean, what can you say? He's consistent. He's reliable. He's in the right spot. He's making the big plays. That's what you need. And then we go to Hopkins. Hopkins is, Derek alluded to it also, that he makes the right play at the right time.
Yep.
Like it's in the fourth quarter and they need a first down. All of a sudden, Hopkins makes a toe tap and makes a big play. So even though we don't have Burks, I think these three guys have been really consistent.
Well, and the thing about those three guys, and this is what they need more of, I think, when Burks comes back, contested catches. Like Hopkins is really good,
Ooh, he's good at that.
You know, Chris Moore in the Cleveland game makes a catch over the back of somebody. I mean, you need some – they've been really good at some of those combat catches, and I feel like that's an area when they do get Burks back that he's got to grow in pretty quickly.
Absolutely. He's going to have to. He's going to have to start contributing to what they do from an offensive standpoint. Now, I'm disappointed in Treylon Burks because I expected him to come, to start the season on fire.
Yep.
He looked good during training camp, making plays during training camp. And then all of a sudden, you get in the game, and he's dropping passes, inconsistent, and now he's hurt. He needs to be the guy that eventually comes on. But luckily for the Titans, Chris Moore and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine are guys that have stepped up their role in this offense and has done some really good things within the offense. And Tim Kelly and that coaching staff, they got to be happy with what's going on with those two guys. But I know they're disappointed thus far with Treylon Burks.
And a lot of times you can't control the injury. Just a part of the game. But when you're in the game and you have to make the catch, you don't catch it, then that's where it's disappointing.
Yep.
He's a 50-50 catcher. 50-50. You don't want to get labeled a 50-50 catcher.
No. Right.
No.
But in camp, he looked so good. I mean, he was snatching one-hand catches and, jumping over buildings. I mean, all that stuff.
But it's different, man, when you get in the game. And them lights come on, that
little check. Get him off me. Get him off me.
And then, guys, fourth down. Last week, I'm not sure how much they were tested just because of Burrow and his calf and the inability to push the ball down the field. It was a rough game a couple of games ago for this Titans secondary. Christian Fulton got exposed in that game a little bit. They responded really well last week. I look at Indy's receivers. There's nobody that really scares you. Pittman's a good player. I think Pierce is a good player. And they've got some guys that can hurt you if you're not careful. But, can the Titans put together back-to-back good performances in the secondary, which until last week's game, guys, I thought was maybe the most disappointing area of the defense to this point?
Yeah, they don't match what the defensive line is doing. And that's interesting in a sense because – what happens? We all know that if you have a good defensive line, it usually bleeds over into your secondary. You can have an okay secondary, but because your defensive line is playing so well, that elevates their play.
They ain't got to cover that long,
But it hasn't been that way with the Titans. It's, you know, they're doing well on the defensive line, and then they're giving up big plays in the back end. I can't quite understand why that is the case. But this has always been a question mark for me since the beginning of the season. Can this secondary step up and play big like the defensive line? If they do, then they will have a top five defense. But as we see now, they haven't. So that's why their defense hasn't been able to elevate high in the stats like they were in previous years. They're the best team. They're one of the best teams at stopping the run. We know that.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to the pass, they, for some reason, whether it be miscommunication, guys not really on their game, something's happening in that back end where they're getting beat. For guys that have been together for 2, 3, 4 years, y'all get beat too much on the back end. So the communication, especially with Byard back there, I think the communication would be there. But even with Byard back there, it's still a lack of communication for some reason.
You know, Hooker said a quote last week. He said this. He said, "We were locked in." Wait a minute. When are you supposed to be locked in?
Exactly. All every week?
Yeah. When are you supposed to be locked in when the season started?
We in the first game, second game, third game. Oh, we just go ahead and lock in. I mean,
the fourth game.
The NFL, you're supposed to be locked in.
We got for 17 of them.
When he said that, I was like, what are you talking about, Willis? I'm like, what are we doing? But, you know, getting back to the subject, they did play a great game last week. I mean, you look at what they did. They shut down Boyd. He had 4 for 26, Chase 7 for 73, Higgins 2 for 19. So this, it shows you that they have the potential to be a good secondary. And Derek made a great, great point. They've been playing together for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So they should be, you know, they should communicate better. They shouldn't have those busts. Because if you look at when we played in 1999, we had a great secondary. We had Blaine Bishop, Marcus Robinson, you know, D. Lou, all those guys that played together. So they knew each other. So I think this secondary, they need to get to know each other more. They've been with each other for 3 or 4 years, so they shouldn't have the mistakes. What was it? Was it the 2 weeks ago where who ran the long touchdown?
It was Cooper.
Cleveland Browns when they threw the long pass. I guess they were playing like a cover two shell, and he just ran straight through them. I mean, that just shows you the miscommunication.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up next, we'll go inside the playbook offensively. Look ahead to the Titans and the Colts coming up later today. This is a pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Pre-game show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Derek Mason, Chris Sanders here with you on this Sunday morning. Titans taking on the Colts later this afternoon. We are live at Twin Peaks out in Madison. Come check it out. All the TVs you could ever want. Home of the 29-degree beer. Titans and Colts taking place later this afternoon. NFL action already underway today. Buffalo trailing Jacksonville right now, 11-7. So we'll obviously keep our eyes on that game and see what happens there in the AFC South. Guys, a good performance last weekend for the Titans offensively. They went through a stretch of about 6 minutes and 30 seconds in the second quarter where they put up 21 points. They come out in the first drive of the second half last week and go 10 minutes, 22 seconds, get the field goal, and the game was pretty much over at that point. It's 27-3. So, D-Mace, we'll start with you. What did you like about what the Titans did offensively last week, and what's the key to carrying that over this week against Indianapolis?
Every team tries to go in and be balanced. Every team. Even the Miami Dolphins, who, you know, it's track meet with them.
Yep.
you know, Kansas City Chiefs, it's damn near track meet with them, too, half the time. But they go into the game saying, we want to be a balanced offense. And sometimes it's hard being a balanced offense because the defense takes away one thing. But the Titans, to me, were able to go in thinking we want to be balanced and end the game being a balanced team. They were able to run the ball effectively, and we know what that does for their play action. Ryan Tannehill is one of the best play action quarterbacks in the National Football League over the last 5 years. When you get Derrick Henry rolling, Tajay Spears rolling, now I can play action and hit those receivers over the top, and that's what they did a few times against Who did they play?
Cincinnati, yep.
I'm trying to go like two or three.
Well, trying to go to
Cincinnati looks so bad that they're hardly recognizable anyway, so yeah.
Exactly. So they were able to have a plan, go into the game with the plan, and execute the plan. We know what Mike Tyson says. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
That's right.
Well, the Titans didn't get punched in the mouth, so they were able to stick to the plan. Run the football and play action. If they can do that again this week against an Indianapolis team that I don't believe is physical on the defensive side of the ball, I can see them picking up another victory.
And I agree with Derek. I mean, they did have bounce. I mean, Henry had 22 for 122. Spear was 4 for 40. Then they spread the ball around. But here's two things that I love what the offense did is Tim Kelly was creative.
Yep.
I mean, that was huge. I mean, the flea flicker. When was the last time we ran a flea flicker? I mean –
it's been a while.
I think it was 1998 when we was in the Liberty Bowl. I mean, and then with the jump pass by Henry, I know we saw that a couple of times, but it looked like they were having fun. I mean, they were running the ball, they were passing the ball. You know, guys were in the right spot, and then also the third down efficiency. They were 8 for 13. It just shows you that they're physical, they're creating space, and they're making plays. And just like what Derek said, and you said, they were balanced on running the ball and passing the ball.
Chris, what do you think of what you've seen from Tim Kelly to this point through four games, like the totality of it?
I think he's done pretty good, but it's still, you know, it's still a little inconsistent. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I mean, if you look at, like, the games they lost, I mean, it looked like they didn't know what they were doing. But when they're on it, they are on it. I mean, you know, the situation to where he understood that, you know, the offensive line was struggling, so he used the tight ends. He went a lot of 12 personnel. That's one back in two tights. So when you understand what you're doing and being creative and understand what your strengths are, then that's what makes him do a great job.
And Derrick Henry gets rolling last week. You know, there was a lot of conversation nationally, which I always find funny, you know, for people that don't really pay attention to the Titans. But you know, after that Cleveland game, it's like, oh, what's wrong with Derrick Henry? No. He had 11 carries, 20 yards. It's like, well, guys, did you watch the game? He had 32 yards after contact in that game, and he had 20 yards rushing. What does that tell you? He's getting hit in the backfield every play. It's amazing. They blocked for him last week, and 22 carries, 122 yards, has the one touchdown run where, you know, he breaks three tackles, scampers off in the end zone, and he looked like vintage Derrick Henry to me last week.
Yeah, and that's what they want to see. Listen, Derrick, he's still a really good running back in this league. Is he the Derrick Henry of 2 or 3 years ago? No, he's not. I know a lot of people wish he was.
Yeah.
But he's still one of the best two or three runners in professional football right now. And with him now, you got to get him going.
Yep.
You have to. You got to give him some breathing room as he gets the ball. Again, the stiff arm isn't that deadly anymore. He's getting tackled a lot of times by one guy, but that doesn't mean he's still not an effective runner. Once he gets going downhill, if he can clear that first wave without many people touching him, then he's going to resemble more of the old Derrick Henry than what he currently is now. Again, he's still one of the best runners in the National Football League, but he has lost a little bit of that pop. But again, this is a guy that I still predict gets over 1,300 yards.
Yeah, which is a great season, especially in today's NFL. Like, it's not 2,000 yards, but it's still a great year.
Yeah, and just looking at the difference between when they ran the ball in Cleveland and with the Bengals, you number one, the offensive line. But if you look at when they went against the Cleveland Browns, is they made him stop his feet.
Yep.
When you make Derrick Henry stop his feet, he can't make that one cut and go, just like what Derek was talking about. With the Bengals, the offensive line had a great push. And when the offensive line has a great push, now he makes that one cut and go when they run the outside zone. I mean, he was running with some authority. Yeah, I agree with Derek, the stiff arm, he ain't going to mush you like he did in the past. But just, you know, he still opposes a threat. He still can run through your face. He still has the potential to get to the second level. He may not run by you, but at the end of the day, he's still going to have you to stay in front of the chains.
It's been really interesting to me, too, how they've used Spears to this point. I mean, obviously, he only had 4 carries last week, but they're using him in the passing game. And when he carries the ball, he's got some pop to him. He's got some quickness, some agility to him as well. I think, look, it's a 4-game sample size. But, I mean, you tell me. I think this is clearly the best option they've had behind Henry to this point in Mike Vrabel's tenure. And, you know, today, even against the Colts, you know, using him, you know, sparingly in the running game, using him in the passing game, trying to get the ball in his hands, I'm interested to see how the Titans do that and how Indy views that today, especially when they've both been on the field at the same time, which I think has been a couple of interesting looks that the Titans have gone from those sets.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I would play this game more with both of them on the field than I have in previous games. Why? Because, again, this defensive front of the Indianapolis Colts, they're beat up and they're a lot physical.
Yep.
So I'm putting both backs in the backfield more this week than I have any week, because now it's not just them concentrating on Derrick Henry. They got to concentrate on Tajay Spears, too. He has the speed to get around the corner. He can run between the tackles tough. You have him and Derrick Henry in the backfield. I mean, it just makes for a very – you're talking about a team that has to be uber-disciplined when both of those guys are in the backfield.
And you know, like, I want to talk a little bit about personnel. When you go 12 personnel, that means you're going against a physical defense. I mean, yep. You're trying to protect your tackles. Now they can go a more 20 personnel. That's two backs, zero tights, and three wide receivers, because you don't really need to be physical because you got two backs in the backfield. So, you know, I think if you have Spears, I just love what he does. I love his vision. I love his one cut and go. Just like when they played in the last game, when he fumbled the ball, you're thinking the play's over. And you know, that joker's got 15, 16 yards because of the burst. I'm like, but that's what you need. He brings that extra oomph. He may not be a Derrick Henry where he's going to, you know, stiff arm or run through your lips, but when he gets the ball or catches the ball, he makes something happen after when he gets the ball.
I thought the way the game played out last week was the perfect way the Titans needed to play out for Tannehill. Like, he's not dropping back and throwing it 35 times. The play action game was really strong last week, and the offensive line wasn't perfect. It was better in pass protection. He had some time to throw back there, but you know, Tannehill. Anytime that Tannehill drops back and is throwing it more than 30 times in a game, it's probably not good news for the Titans. Mm-mm. You know, the way that they used the play action and the way that they kept the defense off balance last week while keeping Tannehill, you know, in that 25, 26, 27 attempt range, I think is really good if you're the Titans to continue that formula.
Yeah, you're going to have to. And sometimes it's easier to do it against certain teams than it is others. You know, Cincinnati's defense was a little bit better. Or is a little bit better than Indianapolis. But the Titans were still able to sort of stick to the game plan that they brought into the game. I think it's going to be the same way unless, you know, they give Indianapolis opportunities. To me, that's the only way that this thing sort of falls away from the Titans, or they have to get outside of what they really want to do, is if they give Indianapolis opportunities to score. And we all know what that is, not converting on third down and turning the football over.
And then, you know, to set up everything, they have to establish the run. If they don't establish the run, all the other stuff's not going to work.
Yeah.
So they got to, you know, they really have to do that. Because if you look at what's happening right now, and we look at last game, I know it was just one game, but they're starting to establish the identity. They want to run the football. They want to run the inside zone and outside zone and then set up play action. If they can consistently do that with this team, I think they're gonna run Indianapolis right out of their own building.
So what about defensively? What are the keys to the game defensively for the Titans? We'll go inside the playbook defensively next. You're listening to the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back into the pregame show. Titans taking on the Colts later today in an AFC South matchup. Everybody in the AFC South at 2-2, so a big one coming up at Lucas Oil Stadium later today. We've gone through the offensive side of the ball, the keys for the Titans there. What about defensively? You're facing a rookie quarterback today that is very talented. I mean, you look at some of the measurables for Anthony Richardson in the combine. Maybe the most athletic quarterback we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. We talked earlier about how good he is running the football. He's got a heck of an arm too. And look, I guess you can view the rookie quarterback conversation a couple of different ways, guys. Either, you know, he's inexperienced and you can take advantage of that defensively with some of the looks you give him, or he just doesn't know what he doesn't know and he's not scared and he goes out there and just plays the game. What are the keys as you look at the Titans defensively to stopping Anthony Richardson and that Colts passing attack?
I think that it's going to have to be discipline. You're going to have to communicate in the back end because, you know, two things, that RPO that they run. You know, you got to be disciplined in what, if the defense says play cover two, then you need to play cover two.
Right.
You don't need to look in the backfield and see that fake and then shoot up like you're about to get the running back.
No freelancing.
Yeah, nah, you got to play your position, do your job and not try to do someone else's job. Mike Vrabel is good. That's a big thing for him. Not trying to do someone else's job. Just do your job. We'll be, and trust that the other guys will do their job. So
They got to be disciplined on the back end. You can't be peeking in the backfield. And when you have an opportunity to make a tackle, you have to make a tackle. That's on Moss, Richardson, or Taylor. You got to community tackle with these guys. You'll get them down every once in a while with one guy, but it's better when you bring a community of people. And this Titan defense, I know they're just waiting to fly around. So they're going to give them an opportunity to do that tonight.
I think Shane Bowen's got to make him uncomfortable early. I mean, he's got to be shaky early, because if you don't, he gains a little bit of confidence. And the first drive, he takes it 97 yards and have 11 plays and takes off 6 minutes off the clock. He's going to gain confidence. So I think you got to make him uncomfortable early. And then also, I think that, you know, the secondary and the linebackers got to make sure to keep their eyes on the football. A lot of times they keep their guys on the men, and all of a sudden they do that misdirection stuff, and then Richardson is running down the field. So they got to be disciplined with their eyes. They got to be disciplined on where they're supposed to blitz at. But the one thing I don't want to happen is he does what he Chamberlain does what he did last week against Burrow, that you just send everybody. You send everybody, and one guy misses his reads, and then all of a sudden Richardson is running down the field. You got to have a spy on this guy. You got to have somebody that keeps his eye on him. My job is nothing else. I ain't got to worry about cover two. I ain't got to worry about cover three. I got to focus on him. Wherever he goes, that's where I need to be. And that's exactly what Shane Moore needs to do.
And then there's the running game. Jonathan Taylor back in there today, we think. We'll see whether or not he's active. We're going to find out here in about 10, 15 minutes or so. But let's say that he is. And, you know, he's made it through a full week of practice. He signed a contract at this point. So my guess is he probably is going to be active today for the Colts. How much will they use him? What does that look like for the Colts in terms of trying to establish a running game? You know, D-Mace, you brought it up earlier. The Titans' defense has been very difficult to run against. Now, Mixon gashed them a couple of times last week, but, you know, they were down so big in the game that they couldn't run the ball much after that. But, you know, if Jonathan Taylor is in there, obviously that's a big challenge for the Titans' defense. However, Titans have done a pretty decent job over the years of slowing down Jonathan Taylor to this point.
Yeah, they have. Fortunately for them, the last two times they played Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor just hasn't looked like Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
Each game he's come to, there's been something swirling around him, whether he's unhappy, he's injured. All last season he was basically injured, and he wasn't the back he was the previous season. Now, you know, they get to go up against a fully healthy, from what we know at least, a fully healthy Jonathan Taylor. And Chris said it. Listen, he's motivated now. Mm-hmm. He's gotten his money. Now, you know, he's fully healthy. Now he wants to prove that, you know, he's still that back, that he's still capable of, you know, taking over a game. So it's going to be a situation for the Titans where if you don't play your role, if you don't stay disciplined, then he's going to make you pay.
Yep.
But I will take the Titans front against any running back, even if Derrick Henry was on the other side. Yeah. I would take the Titans front seven against any running back in the National Football League. Yeah, you may get a big one here. Yeah, you may get a big one there. But as a whole, this defensive front does an excellent job at stopping the run.
Yeah, and he's going to be a motivated back, just like what Derek said. He wants to prove to Ursay, he wants to prove to the fans, and he wants to prove to the league that he's still the same back. I mean, last year we talked about it. He was consistently hurt. He was disgruntled. I mean, he didn't seem like the same back. So what would it be to have the perfect game going against the Titans, a great front, and have 115, 120 yards? But I think the Titans are going to definitely have to tackle. They're going to have to gang tackle. They're going to have to 7-8 hats to the football and not let him get started early. Somebody, whoever it is, I don't know if it's Simmons or Autry or Weaver, they got to tattoo him early and let him know, hey, dog, you ain't getting nothing here.
Well, the one thing that is interesting to me in the running game defensively for the Titans, though, is – you know, obviously they've got Simmons, they've got Autry, they've got those guys up front. No Tyrae Tart in this game. And he has been a very good run stopper for this Titans defense over the last couple of years. He's been battling a toe injury all week and is going to be out today. So, you know, look, I'm not saying that the Titans are incapable of stopping the run without Tyrae Tart, but he is a big part of what they do in the run game defensively.
Yeah, he is. He reminds me of a John Thornton, Jason Fisk type of player. Yeah. You remember those guys.
Jason Fisk.
Yeah, they didn't, you had Javon Curse and Kevin Carter on the edge, so nobody really thought about the guys in Robert Smith,
the guys
in the middle that did the dirty work that people just, you know, it didn't show up much on the stat sheet, but if you watch the game, you were like, man, they these guys are players. And he fits right into that mold. Tiatar's my favorite player, man. I like the guy. He's humble, but he goes out and he does his job. And he does it effectively. Yep. It's not like he just goes out there and like, okay, yeah, and then I'm going to get back. No, he does his job and he does it effectively. Without him, what is the Titans? What will the Titans be losing on the defensive line without him being in a rotation? I think we'll see that early on in the game, because Indianapolis is going to try to run the football very early in this game.
You know, that 1999 defense, I mean, we had some dogs, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what made that defense go? Josh Evans.
Yeah, big Josh in the
man,
middle.
Rest his soul, man. Mm-hmm. Just a great player. Had a motor. That's the same thing with T.A. Tart. Is, you know, he didn't really get the recognition. He was undrafted, mm-hmm. but he came in with an attitude, and he was consistent around the ball. If you look at an AFC Championship game, they got a picture of him, you know, sacking what was the quarterback's name?
Brunell.
I forgot. Yeah, he's sacking. Yeah, but he was sacking Brunell, but he was a guy that was consistent, that was making plays. He may didn't get the notoriety, but he just consistently made plays, and that's the same thing with T.A. Tart, is even though he doesn't get the notoriety, he's consistently doing something great. If it's tackling or batting the ball down.
Or intercepting the ball.
It looked gross to be laying on the ground. The ball came to him. But he's always in the right place, and those are the kind of guys that you need.
He's in the right place at the right time because he's doing his job.
Yep. Yes, sir.
He's being disciplined.
The Vrabel part of this, in terms of we've seen this Titans defense, whether it's matching up against Mahomes and the Chiefs or Burrow or whoever it is, they give a lot of different looks, right? They're in a lot of different coverages, a lot of different formations, and they try to make it as tough as they possibly can for any quarterback. When it's a rookie quarterback, regardless of who the rookie is, how much of an advantage should that be for the Titans based on the different looks that they try to throw at the quarterback position that we've seen Mike Vrabel do over the years? And how do you think that affects things today with Anthony Richardson?
I think it'll be beneficial, you know, because that's one thing, regardless of who the quarterback is, the young quarterback, Peyton Manning, you know, Patrick Mahomes, just name any like great quarterback, the guy to end up being a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. Young quarterbacks get fooled. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, you can disguise things to confuse them. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the Titans are going to do in this situation. They're going to try to confuse. They're not going to go out of their way. They're just going to play their defense. But in playing their defense, they're going to try to hold their water until the last minute. Make him see one thing and then rotate to another.
Yep.
We understand in this game, what you see is not what you're going to get. They want to try to hold it as long as possible, yep. Disguise it to whereas once he gets that ball in his hands, he doesn't know exactly what's going on. And once his first read is not there, he's going to take off running because he doesn't quite understand what's being played because they're throwing guys in different positions. So it's going to be critical for the Titans to disguise it very early, but even in their disguise, stay disciplined in what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think they got to make sure they disguise at the right time because we got to realize this also, too, is they have a three-headed monster now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got three runners. They got Taylor, they got Moss, and they got Richardson. They got three guys that can run the football. Yep. So if they do a whole bunch of moving around and they do that misdirection stuff and zone read and everybody's out of place, then all of a sudden, just like we said earlier, Richardson or Taylor's going to have a 60-yard touchdown. So they have to play disciplined football, and they got to have gap integrity to make sure that they're disciplined in what they're doing.
And then in the secondary, you know, we talked about Fulton and, you know, the game that they had last week. What have you guys thought of Murphy Bunting? The way that he's played to this point, coming in from Tampa Bay, he was a starter there at times. At other times, came off the bench. He's played a lot so far this year for the Titans. What do you make of the way that he's played to this point?
It's been up and down, and that's just been their secondary period. Everyone in that secondary has been up and down, other than McQuarrie. McQuarrie has been, like, the most consistent player they've had in that secondary, and that's including the two safeties. But they've just been up and down. They got to be more up this week than down. Button got to be more up than down this week, because if he's not, then it's going to be a long day for the Tennessee Titans in regards to trying to stop the pass. I think they're going to do a good job at it, but if they are not disciplined in what they're doing, if they don't, you know, play their keys, then they're going to leave themselves susceptible to a big play, whether it's, you know, straight from the pocket or Richardson getting outside the pocket and finding guys down the field.
Yep.
Yep, and I think that secondary, I mean, the reason why they played great the last game is because the front played well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, you're going to be antsy. You can't go through your read. But if the front doesn't get to Richardson and they have to cover, that's where they struggle at. So I just think that they got to make sure that, you know, Shane Bowen doesn't put them in a bad position to where you blitz and then all of a sudden you got to go one-on-one against Pierce and Josh Downs and Pittman, then that's where the danger happens.
So who's going to be in, who's going to be out for the Titans against the Colts today? We'll find that out. Coming up next, we'll have your inactives today for the game in Indianapolis. That's next. You're listening to the pregame show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live out at Twin Peaks in Madison. Robbie Stanley, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders here with you. Titans taking on the Colts this afternoon. We are just a couple minutes away from finding out who is active, who is inactive. Matter of fact, we have them for the Titans right now. The inactives for the Titans in today's game against the Colts. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com putting this out there. Wide receiver Treylon Burks, defensive lineman Tierre Tart, linebacker Luke Gifford, outside linebacker Caleb Murphy, offensive lineman Jalen Duncan, quarterback Will Levis, also adding to that, Nicholas Petitfrere, who is eligible to come back and play after his suspension for violating the league's gambling policy. He is going to be out today as well. So those are your inactives for the Titans. So looks like Kyle Phillips is going to be in there. Also looks like Peter Skoronski will be in there today for the Titans against the Colts. So a couple of reinforcements coming offensively that way with Skoronski back in, and with Kyle Phillips back in, but no Burks, no Petitfrere, no Tart, no Gifford, Caleb Murphy, Jalen Duncan, and Will Levis, your inactives for the Titans today.
Well, I mean, other than I think Burks and Tierre Tart, we know, and we knew that coming into the game, I pretty much think. You know, other than that, you know, I think getting Skoronski back is huge.
Yep.
So if you want to say, well, yeah, they lose two players, but I think most importantly, they get, you know, one player back that they sorely need, and that's Peter Skoronski. So you hope that the Titans can continue to build on what they've been able to do, what they were able to do last game now that they have their starting guard back. But, you know, not having Tierre Tart, that's a big loss to me. Not having Treylon Burks, that's a loss because of the depth and because of the big play potential he does present. But Titans didn't have them last week, and they were able to play well. They had Tierre Tart, but he wasn't himself.
Yep.
So they're going to have to continue to, you know, play at a level that's going to win them games without having a Burks in a tier chart.
You know, I think the biggest addition is Skoronski. I mean, we always talk about the offensive line. The offensive line was big last week, but against Cleveland, they struggled. So when you get a Skoronski back, it brings that physical presence. I mean, I watched him in camp a little bit. He's a dude. I mean, he's a dude. If you look at
his face, he's our best offensive lineman right now as a rookie, I think.
He is. And if you look at his face, when I first saw him, I'm like, dang, is he even mean? But when that joker plays guard, he's physical. Everybody talks about him not having long arms. That means nothing. When you have that guy out there, he's a physical presence. He communicates, and he understands what's going on. Because if you look at a situation that happened when they were playing, I think it was the Los Angeles Chargers, when the linebacker was mugging in the gap, and the guard and the tackle didn't communicate.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, there was a sack on fourth down. I think if Skoronski was in there at that point, I don't think you have that. But they have that situation because they communicate. So, I mean, I understand Burks and everything is not playing, but the key addition is Skoronski. I think that's huge.
How would you guys handle the Petitfrere situation? Obviously, you know, on paper, he was the starting right tackle heading into the year. Then he gets suspended for the gambling stuff. Chris Hubbard has come in, and, you know, I think he's been okay to this point. He's been up and down along with most of the rest of the offensive line. Vrabel seems to think that Hubbard's played pretty well, and obviously Hubbard's going to be the starting right tackle today. But, you know, earlier this week, they were kind of moving Petitfrere around. He did some work on the left side. You know, he started at right tackle for them last year. So how do you go about handling this if you're the Titans as you try to get Petitfrere back in the fold while also realizing that Hubbard has played pretty well for the most part relative to expectations?
I think you let him work himself back into the rotation. You know, allow him to go through some more practice. I know, you know,
there's been some type of speculation that, you know, they may end up putting him at left tackle if Dillard continues to struggle. And I see that as a possibility. But I think you let him work back into shape, playing shape. I'm not saying he's out of shape, but playing shape and being just in shape are two different things. Let him work himself back into shape. And then after the, you know, after the London game, then reassess it. Can we put him at left tackle? Would it be more beneficial to have he and Skoronski on the left side and Dillard be sort of that swing tackle because Hubbard's doing a good job on the right side? So I think that's when you make that decision, when you have more weeks to sort of see how this thing can play out for you.
And I think it all depends on this game also. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they come out and they just dominate this front, why mix things up when it's going well? I mean, you don't want to start putting, you know, his nickname PT. His nickname. But you don't want to change things up if it's consistently working. I'm not saying it has been consistently working. The last game they did well against the Chargers, they did okay. Cleveland Brown, they didn't do well at all. But if you're playing well in the offensive line, you have these set of core guys, I think you just leave it alone and let PT earn it.
On the Colts side of things, we know that Shaq Leonard going to be out in this game. Kwity Paye also out dealing with a concussion right now. And Ryman, their left tackle, is out. So your starting left tackle out for the Colts. He's also in concussion protocol. The question all week long for the Colts has been the Jonathan Taylor part of this. Their inactives are out as well. And Jonathan Taylor is active. He is going to be playing in this game. Laura Overton from the Colts put this out there. Quote, Coach Steichen tells me, we'll have some stuff for him regarding Jonathan Taylor, and he'll be on a pitch count. Steichen also noted Taylor's home run ability within the offense. So looking like Taylor's going to play. He's going to be active. Doesn't sound like he'll get too many touches today based on what Shane Steichen said before the game. But no surprise to me, D-Mace, that Taylor's going to be in there. And then the question is, how much will he play, and how effective are the Titans at stopping him and slowing him down?
No, it's not a surprise that he's going to play. It's just how many carries will he get. I think they will see how the game's going early, if they can, you know, penetrate this Titans defensive line. I think if they can, then you're going to see more of Taylor. But if it's just this grind it out type of play, then, you know, maybe you don't see as much. Maybe you only see I'm looking for him to get anywhere from 10 to 15 carries. I think he gets more if the game's going the way Indianapolis wants it to go. But if it's not, then obviously you're going to see him with less carries. Yep. Because they're going to have to then throw the football.
If he gets more than 10 or 15 carries, Chris, that's probably not good news for the Titans.
No.
Probably means things are going poorly.
No, you know, I mean, you got to contain him early. You got to frustrate him because you got to remember he hasn't played that much football this year and actually last year because he was consistently hurt. So, you know, as a running back, especially with Eddie George or Derek Henry, they want to have rhythm. You don't want to give this guy any rhythm or any life, because if he gets life, you're going to look up and he's going to have like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown. So what they have to do is Shane Bourne has to frustrate him early, send blitzes, make him stop his feet, 6 and 7 guys tackling on the football. So if they consistently do that, I think he'll get no more than 50 yards.
So we brought it up earlier. Kyle Phillips is active for the Titans today. Chris, you didn't seem overly excited with him returning punts today. What do you make of the Kyle Phillips decision?
Hey, you ever watch Rock when they say, stop the fight?
Yeah, I am.
Throw in the towel, Rock. No, I'm being funny, but he's got to prove it. I mean, yeah. D-Mace, you can talk about this more now because I never did punt return, but when you drop one or two punts, you got to build up your confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at last year, there was one that hit him in the face mask and the shoulder pads. If he hasn't been doing that lately, how is he going to get a confidence, or how can he have confidence to do that, but also the coaches have confidence in him doing that? I mean, you can speak more on that than
me. I think a lot of it comes down to, do the special teams unit have trust in Phillips that he's going to catch the ball? That's the first thing. Because those guys, I mean, listen, the special teams unit, sometimes it get left out unless they do something horrible.
Right.
But this unit, I know they want to be a good unit. Mm-hmm. And the way the league has sort of taken out a lot of the special teams because of, you know, concussions and
player
all that
safety,
other stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, player safety. You don't get a lot of time to see those highlight plays. Mm-hmm. And I think the Titans are about due for one of those highlight plays. Kyrus Jackson had a long return a few weeks ago before he got injured. So you saw some life in him Then they end up, he gets injured. Then they bring Mace McKenzie in. He gets a, I think he had a 15, 20 yarder himself.
He's decent, yeah.
So they have the potential to break one. It's just, when are they going to do it? And I think this week would be a prime opportunity for the special teams unit, not just, you know, Folk, but I'm talking about the returners,
yep,
to make a positive impact on this game.
Well, the thing is, like, I think Phillips, if he catches it, mm-hmm, he's got a little juice to him.
Exactly,
in the
got a little
game,
wiggle.
But got to catch it.
Yeah.
The if you catch it is the most important part of that sentence there, Chris.
You can't run without your catch. Can't run without the ball. Well, you can, but hey, it ain't going to be
a little bit
nothing
counterproductive. Exactly. We can do that. Yeah.
No, but I think if he catches one and breaks it, like maybe a 15-yard one, then I think there's going to be a little confidence. But, you know, is Kenzie active? I mean, he's back on the practice squad.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, wait, okay. Okay.
Yeah, they put him down. He came up, then they put him down.
But okay. Yeah, but
hey, that's how it is.
Chris
know?
Is not excited about the Titans special teams today.
Hey, a 15-yard return to good to get the crowd hype. Okay, now go back to practice squad. That's all we need.
Mason,
son,
we'll see you later.
You did your job. That's all we need.
That's all we needed.
That's all we needed.
Next guy.
Just beautiful. Just beautiful stuff. And then, I mean, the Skoronski part of this is one thing.
Yeah.
Dillard today. You know, Dillard, I thought, had a bounce back week last week. You know, Hendrickson got in the backfield for Cincinnati a couple of times. We know this. It's been up and down with Dillard. Run blocking wise, I actually think he's pretty good. I mean, you can find some tape of him mauling people. The pass blocking has left a lot to be desired to this point. You know, if you're and you brought this up with Petit Frere earlier, if you're Vrabel, like, how patient are you with Dillard as they move forward? You're 2-2. You got the bye week coming up after next week's game against Baltimore. How do you view the Dillard part of this, and how much of, I guess, a rope do you give him with the way that he's played to this point?
I think, you know, the coaches are going to allow him to, you know, make the decision for them. If they see that he's getting better, then they're going to leave him in there. But if he continues to struggle, then, you know, now that Nicholas is back, they have some options. Before, they didn't have many options.
No.
You know, now I think they have some options. Mm-hmm. What he has to do to me, and it's sort of interesting with him because he's, what, 6'5", 6'6", 300-plus pounds. Mm-hmm. But you don't play like that. You play like you're 6'2", 220 pounds.
Yeah,
you
true,
get pushed true back into the line, into the quarterback too many times to be. And it's not like people are beating him on, you know, these fast rushes from the outside. No, they're just getting right in your chest, and they're just pushing you back. For a guy to be that big, you're getting he has this girth or this big enormous enormous body. He's sort of like Jonathan Ogden. If you've ever been next to Jonathan Ogden, and I played with him for 6 years, well, five because he retired early, this was a massive guy. I mean, he was, and he played like he was massive.
He sure did.
He would toy with people. I'm trying to figure out why Dillard can't do that.
Right.
You are this massive guy, but then if I think about it, Jonathan had dog in.
Yep.
Jonathan was nasty. He was the nicest person in the world, but he was nasty.
Yep.
He was. I don't think Dillard's nasty. He needs to have John Runyon in him, that type of play. And Chris knows how big John was. John was dirty, like a dirty player, just nasty.
And then look at you like he ain't did nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how Dillard needs to play. I think sometimes you need to get a 15-yard penalty from him for massing somebody in the face. You know? God, do something. And he hasn't done it yet. So
to a little bit juice to you.
Yeah. To me, if he continues – to get bull rush, then you have no choice but to put somebody else in there.
You know, just kind of look at what was it a bounce back? I mean, with the situation happening, like, was it a bounce back from the week before? In my opinion, I don't think so, because if you look at what Tim Kelly did, he used a lot of tight ends.
He did.
I mean, you have the misdirection stuff to really help the tackles out. So now if you take away that tackle and he's there, I mean that tight end and he's there, can he sustain his block? That's the key. I want to see that because, you know, he had a lot of, you know, two tight ends help to really help him because they struggled a lot. So I agree with Derek. You got to get that stankness, that dog in him. I mean, get that smelling sauce and just
do like Big John Henderson used to do.
Just slap him in the face.
Talking about
a terrifying job.
Somebody's got my jersey on over there.
Now we're talking.
Chris Sanders. Hey, Sanders jersey.
The last time somebody said they said they saw it at a Goodwill. and I got offended. Somebody said, "Hey, I saw your jersey at a Goodwill." I'm mad.
At least it was somewhere.
At a Goodwill.
At least it's still in circulation.
Exactly.
It was for 50 cents.
At least it wasn't free.
I think they gave it to him free.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport. He is live at Lucas Oil Stadium in advance of the Titans and the Colts. This is the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders here with you on this Sunday morning. And we go live to Lucas Oil Stadium in advance of the Titans taking on the Colts. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, joined us this morning. Brought to you by Beast Unleashed. Beast Unleashed, zero caffeine, zero sugar, all the adult beverage fun. TD, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
We're good, man. Who's looking better this morning? You or Rand Carthon? That's a nice picture you snapped of him.
Hey, yeah, you know, we're competing. Today we were competing, I will say. But, you know, I think Rand, he put it together. But I'll post you something. You'll see.
Good. I can't wait to see it. So, TD, no surprise, Jonathan Taylor is active. Looked like he's going to play a little bit. Could be on a pitch count today for the Colts. What do you make of that matchup for the Titans? How do the Titans go about slowing down Jonathan Taylor with his fresh new contract, by the way?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is they just got to keep him from being able to turn that corner because he has that speed. Once he is able to get into that alley, he could break away and hit the home run. That's the biggest thing. So they got to do that. And it's the typical Mike Vrabel speak, right? You got to create a wall, you know, swarm to the football and tackle. That's pretty much it.
TD, the offensive side of the ball, they were really good last week against the Bengals. The play action worked really well. What do you think what did you learn about the Titans offense last week that you think can transfer into this matchup specifically against the Colts?
Well, I think one of the things that really stood out to me was that cheat motion that they used Tyjae Spears with, whereas they are able to motion him and he gets a head start into his route over whoever's covering him. So that's something that they could do. Just have him, he and Henry on the field at the same time. But most importantly, what I learned last week is that Ryan Tannehill is willing to deliver the ball down the field, not just on play action. And that's what stood out to me. The Chris Moore throw, the DeAndre Hopkins, that wasn't on play action.
We're talking with Teron Davenport there at Lucas Oil Stadium, awaiting the Titans versus the Indianapolis Colts, their first division game of the season. Now, with Jonathan Taylor being back, TD, what do you think the emphasis is going to be on? Because now they're facing the team that they haven't faced, you know, all year. And even going back to last year, the last time they faced a team like this was the Philadelphia Eagles with this three-headed monster the quarterback and the two running backs. We saw what Philly was able to do to them, but we understand Indianapolis don't have the same personnel on the outside. So what is going to be the biggest, you know, hurdle for the Titans in regards to their defense against Indianapolis offense?
You know, in talking to the DBs, they said that this is a week where they got a plaster. That's the biggest thing. And the way Anthony Richardson could extend plays, it makes you have to cover longer. You know what I mean? And then you have to be trained, like with your eyesight, be disciplined and know, okay, is he going to run or is he going to throw? And you can't get caught up in trying to come up to the line, right, and make the tackle if he's running because he'll stop and he'll throw it over you. So it's really just plastering. Up front, man, they got to be disciplined with their passing lanes. Rushing lanes. They can't give him an opportunity like a sliver to run because he'll do that, you know. So it does put stress because you have to play true 11-on-11 football. That's the biggest thing.
Now, the question that we have to ask you, Nick Folk, how's he looking?
Nick Folk is looking, he's looking good, man. He made a few. He made one from 50 plus. They had the roof open. It was raining earlier, but they had the roof open anyway. And at this point right now, they have to keep it open the rest of the day. But he's fine. You know, there's a little bit of wind swirling through, but he just kicked one from 35 now, and let's see where he's going next.
You know, TD, last week, Derek.
This one is basically an extra point.
Hey, TD, last week, Derrick Henry had 122 yards rushing the football. Now you have a banged-up front with Leonard and Kwity Paye and an injured Buckner. Do you think Derrick Henry can have a huge day running the football?
I think he's going to have a big day. And, you know, it's funny. It's like, why would you poke a bear? You know, Zaire Franklin, no, not Zaire Franklin, EJ Speed is like, Derrick Henry knows what it is with us. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, you might want to check the internet. He's had very good games. So, yeah, he knows what it is, but it's not what it is in your favor. You know, so I think he has a big day, man. No Shaq Leonard either. Like, it's not looking good for them. But, you have to come out and play.
Yeah. You know, just looking at the situation with Burks, you know, Burks has been injured the last 2 weeks. Do you think with NWR, with Moore playing at a high level, do you think that, Tim Kelly is going to get those guys the ball more and more opportunities?
Yeah, I think he's going to get the ball to Chris Moore more. You have to do that, man. Like, this guy's averaging 33.5. Chris, you didn't average that. You know what I mean? You had a high average. You know what I mean? So they're getting him the ball down the field, and he's making plays. So you got to get more of that.
TD, last thing here for you. Two newcomers on the offense today in terms of guys that we haven't seen in a couple of weeks. Skoronski back in there active. Kyle Phillips both on the receiving front and on special teams. What do you think those two adds specifically do today, and how involved do you think Phillips will be offensively?
You know, the guys that you mentioned were two of the first three guys on the field this morning. You know, and I think Phillips – you know, he just has to be aggressive but not reckless. That's what Craig Uckerman said. And, you know, you want to make a play, but if it's not there, you know, it's going to be fair in the short yard situations. I think, you know, you look at him, third down specialist, you know, running those choice routes and all that stuff. That's where he's going to be inputting. But then, you know, we talk about the slide protection and making sure that you got your tackles inside, and Skoronski does a really good job. Him being on the field makes Dillard better. So that's the plus that he brings.
Hey, can I ask my question before
he
goes? Hey, I was watching Sanford and Son yesterday. And me and my daughter was watching it. We having a good time watching it. And this guy, his son came out named Lamont. And she was like, "Dad, is that TD?" I'm like, "No, that's Lamont." So I just want to let you know that.
Funny story.
I think we lost TD.
Somebody don't want him to hear this.
I got to get you, man.
That's right. TD, enjoy yourself at the game. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Xavier McDaniel looking fool.
Teron Davenport brought to you by Beast Unleashed. Beast Unleashed, zero caffeine, zero sugar, all the adult beverage fun. Always fun to catch up with TD. Now, TD, tweeted out a picture of Rand Carthon. Mm-hmm. He's looking sharp this morning. Now, he just promised us a photo of him, too. So, you know, as a show, we'll have to judge who's got the better look this morning, Rand Carthon, Teron Davenport.
Hey, Rand Carthon looking like ice out there. Looking like ice.
He's looking good.
Don't go so cold.
No question about that. It was interesting to get his perspective on the Jonathan Taylor part of this, too. It's going to be interesting to see how the Titans defend that today. Coming up next, it's time for our picks to clicks. We'll continue to look ahead at the Titans and the Colts coming up at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's interesting to me that the roof is open when you have the ability to close it, and it's apparently raining in the pregame. Did they not look at the No. They don't have any weather forecasts in Indy? What are we doing up there?
Hey, they want to slow things down.
They must do. Well, just leave it open. Why not? We'll have our picks to clicks coming up next. This is the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
This is NFL Pregame, and it's time for Jared Stillman and former NFL wide receivers Derek Mason and Chris Sanders to make their picks to click.
Bring it on, Chop. Let's go.
Brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is the pregame show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders here with you. Time for Picks to Click, our Picks to Click segment brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment. We are live out of Twin Peaks in Madison here today. Big game coming up between the Titans and the Colts. Everybody 2-2 in the AFC South right now. Jacksonville playing against Buffalo in London right now. Jacksonville had an 11-7 lead early in the fourth quarter, and I believe they just turned the football over as they're driving in the red zone. So Buffalo going to get the ball back after a fumble by Trevor Lawrence. Probably review that to see whether or not he was down, but close game in Buffalo between the Bills and the Jags. Gentlemen, let's start on the offensive side of the football. D. Mace, we'll start with you. Your pick to click for the Titans today offensively.
I think it's going to be the Peter Skoronski. I think his first game back off injury. You know, he has an opportunity. He is the best offensive lineman that they have. As we sit, he has the opportunity to come out and dominate at his position again. You got Shaq Leonard, who's not playing, DeForest Buckner, who's dealing with injury. He has an opportunity to open up that left side and give Derrick Henry a lot of room to run. So me, Peter Skoronski.
Let's go.
I like it. Chris Sanders, your pick to click for the Titans offensively.
I mean, I've been waiting for this guy to come along all season long to have an explosive game. I'm going with Chig.
Okay.
Last week he had 3 for 29. I mean, he had a couple of good catches, but I want to see him have a 100-yard game, 6 catches for 105. I think if he does that, I think the Titans will be successful.
I thought he was solid last week, mm-hmm. D-Mace.
Yeah.
They need a little bit more out of him. And I know that the offensive line right now is in a spot where the tight ends are having to stay in there and block a little bit more. But they need a little bit more receiving production than they've gotten to this point out of Okonkwo.
No, yeah, you're right about that. I've, you know, been wanting him to show up, you know, all season long. He showed up a little bit last week. And hopefully this week he could be more of an impact player for the Titans because they're going to need him.
My pick to click, I'm going with Spears. So Spears, you know, I do think this is going to be a Derrick Henry game. I think he's going to have a big game. Spears is averaging 6.1 yards a carry so far this year, and it's a limited sample. He's only carried the ball 20 times. But there have been a few plays that he's had where he's either one block or one jump cut away from breaking a big one, and I think he does it today. I think today is the day where he puts one together. And you're going to see a 50, 60-yard touchdown from Spears today. I like the ability that kid brings to the table, the speed that he brings to the table. And, Chris, the thing that really stands out to me is even at his size, he runs between the tackles really well. Spears, my pick to click for the Titans offensively.
Oh, man, I think that's a great pick. I mean, because every time he gets the ball, you hold your breath. And you know, when they first made the pick in the third round, you know, everybody's like, why would you get a running back? Because the Tennessee Titans saw something that was special in this kid. And when I went to practice in the summertime, when I saw him run, I saw him cut the vision that he had. I said, this kid is going to be special.
Yeah, he's got the vision. He's got the speed. It's been really impressive so far from Spears. All right, the defensive side of the ball. D-Mace, your pick to click for the Titans defensively.
My pick to click, but going back quickly to Spears.
Sure.
I like the way TD coined it. I think it was this week or last week. He said, people were disgruntled or upset that they drafted a running back. The Titans drafted a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just draft a running back. They drafted a guy that they believe can make plays for them. But on defense, it's going to have to be Fulton. I think it's going to have to be Fulton. I think, you know, he's going to have to show up big because, you know, TD said it. The theme of this week was plaster. Stay on your guy. Because Richardson can and will get outside the pocket. So you got to be disciplined. And he's shown the lack of you know, undisciplinedness, if that is indeed a word. He's been that at times. He can't be that with Anthony Richardson today.
Oh, you got my pick.
He's stealing the pick.
No, actually, that was a great pick. I'm gonna change it up. I'm gonna go with Simmons. And the reason why I'm going with Simmons is because if he put some pressure on Richardson, he can't do all that zone read and all that crazy stuff and not have the distribution of the football. So I'm going to have to go with Simmons.
I'm going to go Denico Autry. Mm. And the reason I say that is he plays really well against the Colts. We know what happened. The Colts had an opportunity to bring him back. They chose not to do so, and he's been an absolute force for the Titans for the last 3 years. You know, you look at the way that Autry has played so far this season. I mean, he continues to just be productive year in and year out for them. And there seems to be a little bit more juice with him when he plays Indianapolis. I think he's going to have a big day defensively today. I think you're going to see him get to the quarterback a couple of times. You know, he's played Indy, I believe, 11 times in his career. He's got 6.5 sacks against him. So he likes playing the Colts, and I think you're going to see Denico Autry have a big day. And, you know, guys, we talk about Simmons and Landry and Key and all these guys. Autry, an absolute stud for them on that defensive front.
Well, they're going to need him because they were out Tier Tart today.
Yep.
So they're going to need, you know, Jeffrey Simmons to play like Jeffrey Simmons and some. And they're going to need Denico Autry to step his game up. And he's always been another consistent player. But they're going to need him to step up big because he may have to play a few more snaps now that T.R. Tark's not playing.
I mean, if you look at this defense, just like you said, we always talk about Simmons. We always talk about these other guys. But who's been consistent for the last 2 and 3 years? It's been Archer.
Yep.
I mean, he's consistently around the ball. He's consistently getting sacks. And he's great in the run game. So that's a great, great pick.
What about Landry? Because Landry, obviously, he's coming off the torn ACL. You know, he made a huge play in the Chargers game to slow down that last drive, got the sack that sent it to overtime. He's been quiet other than that, really, for the most part. I mean, he got to the quarterback a couple of times last week, wasn't able to finish it off for the sack. You know, it's a torn ACL at that position. What do you make of the progress that he's made, and how far away do you think Harold Landry is from being the Harold Landry of 2 years ago that had 12 sacks for the Titans?
Another year. He fell into that sack, to me, against the Chargers.
Yep.
He hasn't been anywhere close. And listen, it's not like he doesn't – like he's regressed as a player. No, he's just injured.
Yeah.
And he's not giving them what they need on that left side of the line. So I look for the Titans to eventually if he doesn't start to ramp it back up, if you don't see him start to, you know, those effects from the knee injury last year start to dissipate a little bit and he starts to play like himself, be ready to see more of Murphy. Mm. And be ready to see more Weaver out there because they're going to need somebody that can get to the passer. Because if he's not bringing that off the left side of the edge, Arden Key is going to have to bring it off the right.
Yep.
Well, if that's the case, if Arden Key's the only guy to bring, what are they going to do? Double team him and leave Harold Landry single cover. And right now, he just can't beat single cover. Right now, he's been a no-show. And again, yep. It's not because he doesn't want to. It's just because he can't at this particular moment.
It kind of reminds you of the situation with Dupree.
Yeah.
When Dupree came off the injury, he came with the Tennessee Titans, and everybody's like, well, why doesn't he have those explosive sacks? It's because he was just basically coming off the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you said a key point. It doesn't – it's like he doesn't want to do it. It's just that he physically can't do it right now. And if you look at some of the stats that Landry has, he has 8 solo tackles, and he has 1 sack. And we're in the fifth game. So that just shows you that he's not up to par like he had when he had 12 sacks.
Well, you know, the snap count is interesting, too. So when Landry's at the top of his game back in 2020, 2021, 2020 he played 94% of the snaps. 21 he played 94% in 2020, 90 in 2021. Right now he's at 73% of the snaps. And you saw Gibson get in there last week, D-Mace, make a big play on the football, force the fumble with Joe Burrow. The good news, I guess, if you're the Titans, is you feel like you have a little bit more depth with Gibson and Weaver that could come in and spell him every now and then. But you need Landry at some point to get back to being that guy that's a playmaker. Some of those the depth as the season goes along going to be tested with the edge rusher part of this.
Yeah, it will be. So that's why they need Harold Landry to get up to speed as quickly as he can. And obviously, you know, because of the knee injury, it's going to be hard for him. But If indeed they don't see the progression and they don't see him getting better, they have no other choice but to start rotating him even more and putting some guys in there that can actually get to the passer, because right now he's having a very difficult time at it.
I said it on Friday on Robbie and Rex Road. Nick Folk, 250-plus yard field goals today. I'm riding high on the Titans kicker. It's been a while, D-May, since I felt great about a Titans kicker. I'm excited about it.
I think you're not the only person in that position, too. Titans kickers have been, a very sore spot for this team the previous 3 or 4 years. Now it seems like they finally got them a reliable kicker. Let it last.
He lined up for that 53-yarder last week, and I was like, oh, no, it's a long kick. Just nailed it, Chris, right down the middle.
And he's kind of cool, though.
He is.
You see when they have the pictures of the guys walking on an airplane, got on shades, and look like Mr. Fonzarelli from Happy Days. But the thing about it is it gives you that security blanket to where if the game is on the line, he's going to make the kick. And also to where if you don't get touchdowns, he's reliable to make sure he gets those 3 points that are definite.
In divisional games like this, I mean, D-Mash, you brought it up. Mm-hmm. Very rarely in Titans-Colts game is one team blowing out the other. It's been close divisional AFC South games. Last year, the Titans got off to a really good start in Indy. Indy kind of made a comeback after that. Titans were able to hold on. But, I mean, I expect today to be another really tight, really close game up there in Indy.
Yeah, I expect it too, because both of these teams know each other very well. Obviously, you got a new coach on the Colts sideline, but it's the same Colts philosophy. Mm. They want to run the football, and they want to play this bend but don't break defense. Well, we know they can run the football, but can they hold up on the defensive side of the ball? It's yet to be seen. So the Titans got to take advantage of every opportunity they get, knowing that more than likely this will be a tightly contested game, and it may, like you said, Robbie, it may come down to a Nick Folk 53-yard field goal.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Chris, the ability of Vrabel over the years to win these close games, it started to go the other way at the end of last year, and they started losing some of these close games. But, you win the game against the Chargers in overtime. You dropped one to New Orleans that was a one-point game this year. I mean, that's the NFL, finding ways to win these close games. It's a National Football League. Yeah. Very rarely is a team getting blown out. You got to find a way to make the necessary plays to win and crunch time, and Titans historically under Vrabel have been good at doing that.
Yeah, I just think that they learned from the mishaps that they had. I mean, that's the one thing that Mike Vrabel's good at as a head coach, is even though they lost those games, even though they lost seven in a row, to not go to the playoffs, they went back and they learned on how to win, what they have to do, going to get a kicker, making sure they have guys in the right spot. So if they consistently do that, I think they're going to learn how to win those close games.
We're live out of Twin Peaks in Madison. Titans taking on the Colts later today in a battle in the AFC South. Jacksonville right now in a matchup with Buffalo in London. Jags leading 11-7 in the fourth quarter. So we'll keep you updated on that as well. Coming up next, we'll get Mike Vrabel's key to the game. Coming up today against the Colts, we'll also have our picks as well, which I have been informed that Jared Stillman 0-4 with his picks so far this year.
Bad.
So
he's doing bad.
That's tough. Yeah. That's a tough one. We'll see if we can improve on that coming up next. This is the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in to pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live out of Twin Peaks in Madison. Titans set to take on the Colts here in just about 45 minutes from Indianapolis. So looking forward to that matchup in the AFC South. We have gone through our predictions, gone through our keys to the game. What does Mike Vrabel view as the key to the game today for the Tennessee Titans? Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say in advance of the Colts-Titans game coming up this afternoon.
For real, he's big, he's fast, he's strong with the football in his hand. I mean, they use him all over the field. And it's not all that. It's not all quarterback run, but it's certainly a large part of what they do. We'll have to be ready for it. We'll have to force him laterally, and we're going to have to get guys to the football. And then when he's dropping back to throw, if he likes the favorable look of the secondary and our rush lanes aren't sound, he'll take off. So he's making yards in a hurry.
That's coach talk.
That's coach talk, mm-hmm. But that's also, Richardson, his feet. I think today, D-Mace, his feet worry me more than his arm does. Now, having said that, if you get to him and he gets away from you and he can extend that play out of the pocket, I don't care how good or not good your secondary is, somebody eventually is going to be open down the field,
yeah,
and he's got the arm talent to find him.
you can't allow his feet to allow his arm to be better than what it is right now.
Yep.
Which means you can't allow him to get outside the pocket, start to find open guys outside the pocket. Again, when you have an opportunity to get him down, community tackle, get him down. When you're collapsing a pocket, make sure you get him and hold him until other guys come. Because this, he is a load to bring down. He's like a damn fullback that can throw the football. So, to me, you can't allow his feet to make his arm look great right now. You got to stop him at what he's doing. Play disciplined football. If you play disciplined football and make him work to get the ball down the field, I will bet on the Titans each and every time over a young quarterback. Even a young quarterback that is playing really good, I still take the experience of the Titans defense over the inexperience of a rookie quarterback.
I mean, you just got to make him uncomfortable. I mean, you really have to. I mean, if you look at, I can't remember the year where they played Baltimore in the playoffs and they beat Baltimore. I mean, they really kept him in a corner. They kept Lamar Jackson in the corner, and that's exactly what you got to do.
It was a young quarterback that made it difficult.
Exactly. And then when you get him uncomfortable and make it difficult for him, then he's going to make those rookie mistakes. I mean, you can't give him confidence early. If you give him confidence early, then that's when he's going to be like, I'm about to shred y'all. And I think that the Titans are going to stop that.
So the Titans opened up this week as 1.5-point underdogs on the road in Indy. They're now a 2.5-point favorite. So Titans favored by 2.5 in this game coming up on the road. No, Jared Stillman has sent me in his pick. He has the Titans winning 28-10 this week as the final score. So a pretty dominant win for the Titans, which based on his record to this point, not very good news for the Titans considering that he's 0-4 in this competition so far this season. So without further ado, Chris, we'll start with you.
Yes.
Who you have winning this game today, the Titans or the Colts?
I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans, and I'm going to say 24-10. I'm not going to say 28. And I just think that with a lot of guys banged up on the Indianapolis Colts, I just think that the Titans, Tim Kelly's going to run the football and impose their will. And I think that Indy just not going to have an answer. I know Richardson maybe get his runs or make a plays a couple of here and there, but I think that the Titans are going to physically punish the Indianapolis Colts because a lot of their guys are hurt.
Well, isn't this what we say every time the Colts play the Titans? Because it seems like the Titans, you know, the Colts are outmanned by the Titans, and we say, or we believe, hey, the Titans are going to run away with this
and end up being
a closer game than what many believe. I think it's going to be the same thing this time. Mm. The Titans are the better team, but will they win in a fashion that shows they're the better team? I'm not sure. I think they went 23-20 on the Nick Folk 48-yard field
goal. Come on,
I like it. Folk coming through in the clutch again. I'm going to go 20-17 for the Titans. I think the Titans' offense struggles a little bit more today than people might think it will. You know, Richardson will make a couple of big plays. I think it'll be close. But I just think the Titans, at the end of the day, they are the better team. Indy's banged up a little bit, especially at some key positions. And I think the Titans will muster up just enough offense today to win. So I'll go 20-17. Which kind of scares me a little bit, D-Mace. It's a clean sweep of people picking the Titans here. Jared's picked a win by 18 points today. At least you two are 2-2 on the season, so y'all know what you're doing. But if I'm a Titans fan listening right now, all four of us picked the Titans to win, and Jared picked them to win big, which could be – this could set up for an epic collapse.
Yeah, it could. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully they continue. They play discipline like they did last week. They stay with their keys. They use the run. They use the pass game off the run game, and hopefully this offensive line can, you know, really outman a undermatched defensive line.
I just want to see the Titans put together two consistent games back to back.
Yep.
I mean, and I think that's the key. I mean, we know
it's been a while since they've done it.
It's been a while, and I think that this will be a confidence boost if they go back to back playing, two great games.
Well, and we know, on the surface anyway, how important this game is from the standpoint of it's a divisional game. It's the first divisional game the Titans have played so far this year. And right now, and there's still some time left, Jacksonville is up 18-7 on Buffalo. Mm. So if the Jags are able to close that out, get that win, that puts them at 3-2. You don't want to fall behind the eight ball if you're the Titans in the division in this game. So added importance that way beyond just the obvious of the Titans and the Colts. You got to be able to keep pace. I know it's week 5, D-Mace. There's a lot of season left to go. But Every game matters.
But you don't want to fall too far behind.
Yep.
It seems like Jacksonville is a what?
18-7
right yep. now. So they're up two scores with 7 minutes left. So you would just assume, unless something catastrophic happens, that, you know, Jacksonville wins this game, which puts them 3-2 in the division. I mean, 2 overall, but still put them ahead of the Titans in the division.
Yep.
So the Titans got to come out, and they got to win this game, because these divisional games are key. They're crucial. And you know, as we get later in the season, teams start to separate from one another. When you got an opportunity to beat a wounded team, you need to beat them. And right now, the Indianapolis Colts is wounded on defense.
Well, if you're a Titans fan too, Chris, so like we talked about it earlier. You know, Peyton Manning went through a stretch where he just dominated the Titans and they couldn't figure him out. Andrew Luck never lost to the Titans. He didn't lose a single game to them throughout the course of his career. You know, the Titans are riding a 5-game winning streak right now against the Colts. They've won 6 out of 7. Like, I'm enjoying the heck out of this if you're a Titans fan, based on the way this rivalry has gone. And, you know, they've had their share of struggles with the Colts. It's time to extend this streak and beat a team that I think we all three believe they should beat today.
I don't want this thing to be a situation like Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah.
Ohio State was beating the brakes off Michigan every year. Then all of a sudden Michigan said enough is enough, and they start hitting us in the mouth.
Yep.
I don't want the same situation to happen with the Tennessee Titans in the Indianapolis Colts. We beat them the last 5 times, and then Indianapolis says enough is enough, and they beat us, and then we're right back at square one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's – and y'all remember, I mean, the Titans-Colts rivalry really began with you guys when you went on the divisional run in the playoffs there the week after the Music City Miracle and took them down in the RCA Dome. I can still remember – Eddie George streaking like 80 yards down the field in that game. People trying to catch him from behind. Peyton Manning getting destroyed by the Titans front that game. That was really kind of the beginning of the Titans-Colts rivalry. That was before the AFC South even existed at that point, back in the days of the AFC Central.
Yeah, it was. But then we started to kind of go, you know, obviously when Peyton became really Peyton, we started to kind of go back and forth a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the Colts end up winning majority of those battles, but it was back and forth contested game.
He and Steve win an MVP that same year.
Yep. Absolutely. So, you know, eventually what the Colts are wanting is, you know, for Richardson to really figure it out quickly.
Yep.
So they then, because they feel they're only a quarterback away, and they believe they have their quarterback. So, you know, for them, the future's looking brighter, but the Titans don't want that future to start now.
No, and, you know, Tannehill, it's a big game for him today. The play action was working really well last week. You know, that to me is going to have to be a factor this week in the passing game too. But, you know, the Tannehill part of this, here's the way I view it. And, Chris, you can tell me whether or not you agree.
Uh-huh.
I mean, game one was on him, right? He missed wide-open receivers. He threw picks.
Yes.
And that's why they lost. I thought he responded really well against the Chargers, looked great in that game. Cleveland, I mean.
This is a debacle.
What could you do about it? Like, every time he dropped back to pass, he's flat on his back. So I don't even know how to judge him in that game. And then I thought he was good last week. So outside of the one performance against the Saints, I think he's responded well. Again, I mean, the Cleveland game, it's hard to judge anybody other than the offensive line. So I'm feeling okay about Tannehill and where he's at right now. He's not Josh Allen, but, you know, we know what Tannehill is at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's playing pretty good, but it's always a debacle when it's on the road. I mean, when it's consistently on the road and he's consistently playing bad, I think he can really fight his demons on this one to where, you know what, okay, I understand the 2 games that I lost on the road were absolutely terrible. I threw interceptions. I looked uncomfortable. It didn't look like I was the quarterback that I'm capable of doing. So now you're on the road to Indy, and you have a situation that you can overcome that and win a game on the road.
My biggest fear is that, you know, being in the dome, that noise, you get, you know, pre-snap penalties. You get false starts. Things like that is going to put you behind the chains. That's my biggest fear with the Titans. And we know they don't operate well when they're behind the chains.
It's hard to do play action when it's second and 20.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
Defenses ain't falling for that too much.
They're not.
I had a situation yesterday. I know it's off the study, but I was commentating the game. It was second and 50.
Second and 50.
Whoa, what?
Second and 50.
I don't know that I've seen that one before.
Exactly.
Hey, can't run a screen.
Well, you can run one, but you ain't getting 50 yards. I know that.
Second and 50. When's that? A second and 50.
Good gracious.
That's wild. Yeah.
Second let's try 50. To avoid that from the Titans today.
Exactly.
No second
please,
and 50s.
Let's do that. If they have a second and 30, I'm going to blame it on you, Chris. I'm going to blame it on you.
But, I mean, D-Mace, to your point, I mean, the Titans offense, no offense in the NFL wants to get behind the chains and do things that way. I think the Titans offense in particular, it plays right into your weakness if you're dropping back to pass when it's obvious passing down situations. If you can get it to third and 3, third and 4, that's right in the Titans' wheelhouse. Third and 10, third and 11, I don't know if the Titans are equipped to handle that.
Yeah, they're 55% on third down when it's third and 5 and less. When they get into that position where, you know, they are third and 6, third and 7, then they're not operating very well. They like to stay ahead of the sticks because then they can use that run game and that play action to their benefit. So they need to stay out of those third and longs and stay in front of the chains and make it third and manageable.
And the thing about it is when you're behind the chains, then your most explosive player is off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, and people don't understand. A lot of fans don't understand that. Why are they taking Derrick Henry out when it's third and 27? I mean, you're not going to run the ball. You got to figure out a way to pass the ball. So if they can stay in front of the chains like third and 2, third and 3, then Tim Kelly has a lot of options of passing the ball and actually running the football.
Well, it's going to be fun. It's a huge one today for the Titans. We're looking forward to watching it. 2-2, a battle of 2-2 teams for the Titans and the Colts. Up at almost at the RCA Dome. That's going back a little while.
Sounds like
up at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Sounds like a cola.
Chris, D-Mace, it's been fun. Appreciate y'all having me today.
Always.
No doubt. Thanks for filling in. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we'll see if I can get off to a 1-0 start. I'll just retire from the competition then and match Jared Stelman's record. That's going to do it for us today. Live out here at Twin Peaks in Madison. Make sure you come check it out. They got all the TVs you could ever want. Home of the 29-degree beer. Lots of NFL action on tap today. Hope everybody has a great rest of their Sunday. You've been listening to the pregame show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Peace.